ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरभक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरभक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरभक्त वृंद
This text 103. I shall start with 101.
Chit Shakti Srupa Shakti Antaranganam Taravai Bhava Anta Vaikuntaridam. The Chit Shakti, which is also called Srupa Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, displays many varied manifestations. It sustains the kingdom of God and its paraphernalia. Maya Shakti Bahiranga Jagat Karan Taravai Bhava Anta Brahmanande Ragan. The external energy called Maya Shakti is the cause of innumerable universes with varied material potencies. Jiva Shakti tatastakya nahi yarai anta mukhyatina shakti tara viveda ananta. The marginal potency which is between these two consists of numberless living beings. There are three principal energies which have unlimited categories and subdivisions. Purport. The internal potency of the Lord, which is called Chit Shakti or Antaranga Shakti, exhibits variegatedness in the transcendental Vaikuntha cosmos. Besides ourselves, there are unlimited numbers of liberated living beings who associate with the personality of Godhead in his innumerable features. The material cosmos displays the external energy in which the conditioned living beings are provided all liberty to go back to the personality of Godhead after leaving the material tabernacle. The Svaita Svatara Upanishad informs us, Etatsya karyam karnam javidite, etatsamas chab yadikastra drishate, parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate, vabhavaki jnana balakriya cha. The Supreme Lord is one without a second. He has nothing to do personally, nor does he have material senses. No one is equal to him, nor greater than him. He has unlimited variegated potencies of different names, which exist within him as autonomous attributes and provide him with full knowledge, power, and pastimes. These are the principal manifestations and expansions of the personality of Godhead and his three energies. They are all emanations from Sri Krishna, the transcendence. They have their existence in him. Although the three Purushas are the shelter of all the universes, Lord Krishna is the original source of the Purushas. Thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the original primeval Lord, the source of all other expansions. All the revealed scriptures accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. Krishna is known as Govinda. He is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. You know all these conclusions of the scriptures very well. You create these logical arguments just to agitate me. A learned man who has thoroughly studied the scriptures cannot hesitate to accept Sri Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. If such a man argues this matter, certainly he must be doing so to agitate the minds of his opponents. The same Lord Krishna, the fountainhead of all incarnations, is known as the son of the king of Braja. He has descended personally as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Purastavudva Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tunamana Namaste Sarasvatundeve Kauravani Vajarne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Pasketya Desitarne. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Shmati Subhadra. Jai Shri Gaur Nithai Vijaya. One time in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada was talking to one temple president there, and he said that in the spiritual world, there is one planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, which is unlimited, in the form of a lotus flower. And below Goloka Vrindavan, there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, and each Vaikuntha planet is bigger than a whole universe. It's unlimited, actually. There are unlimited Vaikuntha planets. And in one small little part of that spiritual sky is a little tiny cloud. And in that cloud, there lies Karna Dakshai Vishnu, and from his body, lying on the ocean, at least his palace is on the ocean of Karna, of Viraj, the causal ocean, unlimited universes expand from his body, more universes than the amount of grains of sand on the beach. And each universe he expands himself as Garbhaka Dakshai Vishnu and enters into the center of each universe, which is covered by seven different coverings. And the tiny little center of each universe, he rests, he expands half, from his body comes the Garbhadak ocean, and then the other half, from his navel comes a lotus flower, and on top of that lotus flower, Brahma is born, and he creates unlimited planets. And in one of those, the tiniest of the universes out of the unlimited material universes, in one little tiny universe where Garbhadakshai Vishnu is resting, Lord Brahma is with four heads is expanded, unlimited planets, and one little planet which is specking, floating just like a speck of dust in the air. It's called the Earth planet. And on that Earth planet there are so many continents, and one continent is called North America. In North America there are so many different countries, and one of them is called the United States, which has so many states, one of them called California. And in California there are so many different cities, and one of them is called Los Angeles, and there are so many streets in Los Angeles, and one of them is called La Cienega Boulevard, and there's so many houses on La Cienega Boulevard, and one little house is called the temple, a Radha Krishna temple. And in this Radha Krishna temple there's one temple president, and he thinks he's controlling everything. So this is just to give us some idea that we're actually not as important as we think we are. Krishna says, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvai vimukha sukaduka sanga gachantya muda padam avyayam. That those who are free from illusion, nirmana moha. Nir means without, and mana means without the mental concoctions. Mental concoction is that due to the false ego of the mind, I am thinking myself to be very powerful and very important. So this is all due to illusion, because we have some desire to lord it over the material nature. The material energy is giving us the illusion that we're the center of everything. So this is not reality. This is simply the disease of the conditioned soul. Although he's insignificant, he's angsa, mamai vangsa jivaloke, although he's simply a very tiny particle of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who's unlimited, his disease is he cannot accept it. It is the most horrible thing for the conditioned soul to think that I am insignificant. People will do anything to forget they're insignificant. They'll take intoxication. They'll try and control so many different things, all to make themselves feel more secure and more significant. But ultimately, when you get down to it, when you analyze it, when you look deep inside, you find out that no matter how much intoxicants people take, no matter how much they are able to expand their so-called powers, still they remain 1/10,000th tip of hair in size. And still, whatever power they get all comes from Govinda. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he was very disturbed. He had asked his little son, Prahlad Maharaj, what is the best thing you've learned in school? And Prahlad Maharaj answered, "The best thing I've learned is that, my dear dad, you're a fool." So he could not take that. Everyone else in the universe had given him so much respect. And here his son is saying, "Tat sadamanye surya varya deinam sadasam udvigna diyama satgriha." That for those whose intelligence is absorbed in these temporary things, who are full of anxiety, O best of demons, that I think that the best thing is, hitvatma patam griha andakupam. Gato, vanam gato, yad darihar, da, yad, vana, yad, what's the next thing? I don't know. You should go to the forest of Vrindavan. Kutovanam yadarim ashriyeta. You should go to the forest and take shelter of Lord Krishna. So Haranyakashipu, he thought that I am so powerful, I am so opulent, everyone respects me, everyone is afraid of me. How is it that this little boy is criticizing me, telling me to give up my opulence and go into some forest to take shelter of my enemy? But what he didn't realize is that actually, although he thought he was Hiranyakashipu, actually he was the same 1/10,000th the size of Tipuheran's size. And that whatever power he had gotten from Krishna was not his power, but was actually Krishna's power. So it was actually Krishna, he had empowered Hiranyakashipu to do whatever miscreant activities he was doing. But actually all the power was coming from Krishna. Therefore, when Prahlad said, when Haranyakashipu, he said, "By what power, where do you get your power to defy me?" And so Prahlad Maharaj said, "From the same person that you get your power from." So Prahlad was actually self-realized, therefore he was realized, therefore he could see, and also he could look around and see that within the pillar was Lord Nrisimhadeva. And that it was all Lord Nrisimhadeva's plan to vanquish the demons. For the whole purpose is, here it's explaining that all the energy comes from Krishna. Yad yad vibhuri mat sattvam srimad orditam eva va tat tat eva ga chatvam amate jangsa sambhavam. That know that all beautiful and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. But the whole idea of finding about this, when the demons hear about this, immediately they want to change everything. They want to immediately claim that, yes, it is the fact that everything comes from God and that we are all God. As we say in the Bhagavad Gita, everything comes from us. So, as soon as they hear Krishna saying like that, they say, "Yes, we agree, Krishna is very intelligent, and we're all Krishna." Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he walked into the assembly of the Mayavadi sannyasis, and he sat down amidst their shoes, and he displayed an effulgence greater than that of 10 million suns. So the Mayavadi sannyasis were not so impressed. They thought, "Yes, let's show him some respect, because he's Narayan. He's realized he's Narayan. After all, unless he shows the effulgence of 10 million suns, how could he be able to manifest it unless he was Narayan? So we should show him some respect. At least he shouldn't sit in the dirty shoes. We should at least ask him to sit with us. Because after all, we're all Narayan." So he's realized it, but he hasn't come to the highest truth yet, because he thinks he's Narayan. Or at least he's Narayan. But even higher than that is simply the effulgence. So when he makes some more advancement, then he'll give up this singing and dancing, and he'll simply become an effulgence. So they were not impressed, because they were not so impressed. If you become a Narayan, you can create some universe or a few universes or even expand the whole thing. But after all, that's just material. The real thing is to become an effulgence if you really want to make some progress. And after all, we're all the effulgence. That's all there is. He's a big light now, but we'll be big lights in the future. This is called Mayavadi philosophy, and this is the disease of the conditioned soul. He doesn't want to accept things as they actually are. But here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's opulence is being explained. How he manifests so many different potencies. Just like, for instance, the conditions of the soul, he can't manifest any potency, practically speaking. He has some potency. But as far as manifesting external energy, what external energy are we actually manifesting? Maybe we have some connection with this body, but even that's exactly what the connection with the body is, how we're actually manifesting these material elements. Because it says that all the elements come from Krishna, even to formulate this body. And all we can do is, by our energy, manipulate the material energy and formulate it in different ways. But even taking for granted that the soul does have some energy, but how much energy does it have? It can't create one drop of water. It can't create even... what can it create? It can't create this room here. All it can do is try and take some of the energy that's already been provided and rearrange it in such a way and then take credit for it. They can take earth from one place, dig into a hole, and then pile it up someplace else as a skyscraper and claim they've done something very significant. And then after they pile it up as a skyscraper for some time, then they break it down and they put it back in the hole where it came from. Then they go someplace else to dig up some more earth and pile it up. And then they think we're making progress. But the whole purpose of this is to realize that actually we're not as important as we think we are, nor by our endeavor in the material world will we actually become any more important. Although, as it says, Swavid Rahostra Karar Samstuta Purusha Parshu Yatkarna Patiyo Peto Jatu Namagada Guja. That the hogs, the dogs, the camels, the asses, they put out so much propaganda about how there are big dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, and that they should be appreciated. Because if people hear some fanatical Hare Krishna decrying modern civilization and its accomplishments, someone will object that there are so many brilliant musicians and artists, politicians, educators, and they're saying that they're useless. Matter of fact, sometimes they say they're dogs and they're hogs and they're camels and they're asses. And people become very insulted that these puffed up Hare Krishnas, they're arrogant and they're deriding everyone's contribution that they're making to society. They have their nerve. But actually, it isn't... Prabhupada used to say, it is not we who are decrying these people. We are simply repeating the words of the Bhagavad Gita. He said if they want to sue us for libel, they cannot sue us because we are not saying anything. We are simply repeating what's in the Bhagavad Gita. So they should sue Vyasadeva and Krishna. They are saying, because after all, ultimately, their accomplishments are mundane. They're the same type of activities that the animals are doing. Although they may be glorified and people may try to create some kind of atmosphere of appreciation for their activities, but ultimately their activities are shravam eva hi kevalam. Dharmaksanustitakpumusam vishvaksena katasuya notpati adyatiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. That duties which are executed by people, if they don't provoke attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are simply considered to be a waste of time. That even duties, dharma, the proper activities that human beings are supposed to perform, to be human beings, according to their situation, the vana and ashram system, if they don't provoke one to love Krishna, to appreciate Krishna, then they are useless. What to speak of the activities which are simply in the mode of ignorance, which are not, don't do anyone any good, are detrimental to the person performing them, and they create even more horrible situation at the end. So he told the story of Rikasura cutting his flesh into the fire and throwing his flesh into the fire, and simply to get a benediction to kill anyone he comes in contact with. So this type of of so-called accomplishments where they say that 40-50% of the scientists in the world, they're working on weapons, trying to figure out how to kill people more scientifically, how to kill more people quicker. And this is under the name of science. And if people, they see the Hare Krishna, they're dancing, chanting, preaching about God, they're saying, why are you wasting your time like this? Why don't you get a good job? Do something for society. Work as a scientist. Learn how to kill people. Further our scientific advancement. Because people can't appreciate, because they're demoniac, because they're in the mode of ignorance, they can't even appreciate what a human activities are. Therefore, due to their animal mentality, they glorify even more powerful animals. And even those who are trying to become human beings, generally people don't even know what the purpose of human life is. As it says, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam apisiddhanam yatinam apisiddhanam kaschimam veti tatvataha. So out of many millions of people, one may be interested in trying to find out who they are. And if so many thousands and millions of those, one actually realizes that he's a spiritual being. And of those, hardly any of them ever understands that actually they're subordinate to Krishna. That they're Krishna's eternal servants. But that's the whole purpose of the Vedic literature. That's the whole purpose of any kind of literature. Is to, if it has value, if it invokes one's attraction to Krishna, if it helps one develop one's attraction, love for Krishna, then one's real activity begins. Because one's real activity, the position of the soul, is simply to love Krishna, to love and serve Krishna. And unless the soul is doing that, then he's simply evolving or reciprocating or experiencing different types of illusions. Either gross or subtly, he's identified himself with some part of material existence, and he's focusing his energy on that part of material existence, and Krishna's arranging it so he can get his just desert in the form of so-called pious and impious activities. But these are all considered a waste of time because it has nothing to do with the actual nature of the soul, and the actual nature of the soul is to love Krishna. So Krishna, in the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, or the last instruction, he says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evaishasi satyam te prati jani priyo sime. That always think of me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me, and the result is that you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So Prabhupada writes that these words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the bluish, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. So this is the whole prophecy. These are the descriptions found about Krishna in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. Once you fix his mind upon this original form of Godhead, one should not even divert his attention to the other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi-forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee is to concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. This is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Unless we hear about Krishna's glories, unless we become convinced that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all the incarnations, the source of all the universes, then it's very hard to take seriously this idea of concentrating the mind upon Krishna. We think, why should I spend so much energy trying to concentrate my mind upon Krishna? You know, there's so many things to concentrate my mind on. My mind doesn't want to concentrate itself on Krishna. Every time I chant Hare Krishna, it's the last thing my mind wants to think about. Once in a while I can hear about Krishna and my mind listens. But as soon as I chant Hare Krishna, immediately my mind goes in 100 different places. It doesn't want to think about Krishna. So why should I force it? So unless we hear about who Krishna is, unless we understand and become convinced, then we won't force our mind to try and think about Krishna. Therefore, one has to hear the glories of Krishna. One has to become convinced how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and what it means to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Avatari, the source of all incarnations. And then we can, with our effort, with some determination, we can try to learn how to fix our mind upon Krishna. One who does that progressively, fixing his mind on Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, then he actually becomes realized. He actually experiences how nice it is to think of Krishna. But in the beginning, unless one tries to force the mind to think of Krishna, it won't be possible. Of course, the Hare Krishna movement is to try and make so many arrangements to make it as easy as possible to think of Krishna. But still, in spite of all arrangements that one can make, still it's always not so easy to think of Krishna. Due to the nature of material existence, there are so many problems. Therefore, Krishna tells Arjuna, Triguna Vishaya Veda, Nais Trigunya Bhavarjuna, Nir Dvandva Nitya Satvisto, Nir Yoga Shema Atmavan. That one has to rise above these modes of material nature, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties over gain and safety, and to try to be established in the self. So that takes some determination, some effort on the part of the soul to try and do it. It doesn't come spontaneously in the beginning. But if one does it, then gradually Krishna will help. He says, Tesham Sadatam Yukkanam, Bhajantam Pritipurvakam, Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Yenamam Upayantite. That for those who are constantly devoted to me and who try to worship me with love, then I give them the intelligence by which they can gradually come to me. And he also says, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Pitri Yanti Patri Vrataha, Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Madhyaji Nopima. If you don't like Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, if you think this person's arrogant, claiming to be God, my father, he said he was God too, and I didn't believe him, so why should I believe this person who speaks Bhagavad Gita? Therefore, I can choose my own God, the demigods or the ghosts or the forefathers, and I'll worship them. Krishna says that's all right. If you want to select these persons as your leader, then you can surrender to them, and you can become a demigod, or you can become a ghost, or you can become a spirit, or you can go to the Pitri Loka and live with your forefathers. But if you want to, you can come to me. And if you come to me, then you can live with me eternally, and there will be no more problems. But if you don't like that advice, then I'll give you so much intelligence, you can go wherever you want. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. Say like that to give us some indication. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that it's one quarter of the creation. But actually, if the spiritual world is unlimited, then this one quarter of creation is not very significant. Anyhow, this is Vedic mathematics. It's very hard to understand what Vedic mathematics is. You know, one time Prabhupada said, and there are 6 million something. 400,000 people killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And some devotees said, but Prabhupada, in your Bhagavad Gita, the original blue book, you said there were 540 million people killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I said, oh. He said, that's zero. You add a few zeros, you take it away. It's zero. So this idea of a quarter, just give us some idea of how big the creation is. But actually, it's not that big.
But it's pretty, I mean, if we try to examine the creation, considering, try and estimate how many living entities there are in the creation, our minds will become boggled by it very quickly. Just considering that within our body there are so many living cells, and they're all jiva souls within that cell, just in our body, trying to figure out how many trillions of living entities there are. To speak of, you know, in the city, and it's just inconceivable. And then trying to figure out what the spiritual world is, it isn't. Even you say it's a quarter, still, you multiply by whatever there is around here by three, it's inconceivable. Well, first of all, it's not true that this is the only planet that you can go back to the spiritual world. That's not a fact. You can go back from any planet if you remember Krishna there. Matter of fact, at the end of annihilation, many times Brahma and his followers go back to the spiritual world from there. And there's a story, Sanatana Goswami gives the story of one devotee named Gopakumar. He goes back, he goes to Brahma Loka, he goes through the coverings, he goes to Mahashiva Loka. And he also goes to Vaikuntha. Of course, he has to come back, at least to Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan, become eligible to go to Goloka Vrindavan. But it's possible to go to Vaikuntha from other planets. Why people come here? Because most people, they don't take advantage of it. It's just another planet for most people. Most people think like that. Everyone thinks it. The special thing is that on this planet there's Vrindavan, there's Mayapur. Most people don't think is very significant. Why do they come here? Because most people, there's so many different varieties of karma. Not everyone comes here so they can go to Vrindavan. A lot of people live in places like Bosnia and Amsterdam, and they have no intention at all of going to Vrindavan. Just like, for instance, there may be a very beautiful park right in the city, but people would rather stay at home, watch television. So they have a beautiful park, they can go there and take advantage of it. But because they're a desire, they don't. They stay at home, watch television, and drink beer all day. So, as one person said, if you don't read a book, it's as good as being illiterate. You never read, it's as good as being illiterate. So if you write, even you're in Vrindavan, even there is Vrindavan, if you go there, your mentality is that of, you know, living in some hellish city, then you're not really in Vrindavan. Well, maybe our fathers and mothers do. But previously, people used to live pious lives and execute Pitri Jaga. They used to perform Shraddha sacrifices and worship their ancestors. And then they'd actually go there, to Pitri Loka. But nowadays, people, if we did it, we'd find out that there was a big gap between in our line of, most of our other ancestors didn't quite make it there.
We try.
It doesn't always work that. It's just like there are so many living entities in this body. Even we don't, it's a little hard for us to understand how every cell is a living being. But because it exhibits the life symptoms, what else is it? So we're the main person in the body right now, unless there's some worm or something else that's competing with us for domination. Sometimes we're not the main person, but generally we try and be the main person. So at least, just like even we don't have control over anything else, at least we have control over a few cells in our body. Makes us feel better. Yeah. Because Krishna wanted to come and have a good time by fighting with him. All those demons? Well, because Krishna is neutral. If the demon performs the sacrifice, the austerity, that Krishna, because the demon is following Krishna. Although he's a demon, although he won't admit that he's following Krishna, still he's following Krishna. Because Krishna says, you perform this type of austerity, you get this type of benediction. So he performed the austerity, he just doesn't want to give Krishna the credit. Just like a plagiarist. He just copies someone else's writing, he doesn't give him the credit. But actually, indirectly, he's giving him the credit. This is his writing. So although Hiranyakashipu was following Krishna's directions, and that way he got the material power. Krishna gave him the power, but actually he didn't want to admit that it was Krishna who was giving it to him. That's all. That's the difference between a devotee and a demon. Yeah. And Brahma, his body is half the size of the universe.
So there's no limit on the amount of matter that can be contained by consciousness.
Well, at least we know you can go up to Brahma and get the size of the universe. But no one in the spiritual world takes the universe very seriously. Only around here. Yes. She has a lot of names. She's known as Kali, Durga, Bhadra, so many different names. Ishani. Some of them are listed in the Krishna book, first chapter. Yes. Because most human beings, they devolve. Most human beings commit sinful activities, and they're given a lower species of life. Because the human beings, they come, they get a human form of life for a short period of time, but they get these other lower species for a long, long period of time. So if you work it out mathematically, say you were going to be a human being for one day, but you're going to become an ant for 10 trillion years. So although eventually you become a human being, but if you don't stay there very long, if you get left back, then there'll be a lot of ants. Although you'll gradually evolve, but I'm sure you can figure it out, you know, mathematically. That's just, human life is very rare because there's so many species of life, and once you devolve, you have to stay in there for a long time.
Yeah.
pastimes and different kalpas, and I didn't understand it.
Well, I don't know specifically what you're saying, but it is a fact that Krishna does perform different pastimes. It's not that every time he comes, you know, it's the same old thing. It's always new. Just like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find Lord Brahma meditating on Krishna and realizing that he's a gopi in Vrindavan. But at the same time, you'll find in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna shaking Lord Brahma's hand and saying that, you know, congratulations, you've become self-realized. You're a cowherd boy. So then you think, well, I thought Brahma's a gopi. Now he's a cowherd boy. What's going on? Because there are more than one Brahma. There are different millenniums. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he may display so many varieties of pastimes. It's not that every time he comes, once in a day in Brahma, it has to be exactly the same pastime he displayed before. Sometimes Shiva is born from the eyes of Lord Brahma, and sometimes he appears in different ways. Kaikei. And, you know, there's so many varieties of things. So. First of all, Arjuna is not Indra. He's the incarnation of Nara Narayan. In the Mahabharata, it mentions that sometime previously he may have been an Indra. And all these five Pandava brothers were Indras, and they were put into a cave, and so many other Indras were there, etc. So this is some pastime. Arjuna has his expansions, so sometimes his expansions may perform these different pastimes. But that doesn't mean that Arjuna, anyhow, these things you have to, it's a little bit more subtle than, because we have our limited conception of what's possible. For anything that goes a little inch beyond our limited conception, we say, how is it possible? How dare they do these things without consulting me? This is not within the realm of possibility by my decree. So, even if we don't understand it first, there's some subtleties behind it. That these personalities are empowered by Krishna, they can expand themselves and do different things that we can't do. So although we can't do it and it seems very unfair to us, still they can do it in spite of the fact that we're protesting. Arjuna unfair to Jivas. Anything else? Yeah. Well, I guess Krishna has his feelings about different people too. I mean, Hiranyakashipu was born of a Brahmin. He was born, of course, Kalyavana was born of a Gargamuni. Anyhow, Krishna has his sentiment, his feelings towards things. You have to ask him, I don't know. We'll stop there. Grantara, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kijai, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai.